Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. I must say I feel particularly emboldened to be here and be introduced by somebody from The Economist. I have been interviewed by The Economist twice this year, and nothing has made The Economist yet. So, I'm feeling I can get away with whatever I want. Secondly, I understand that Governor Palin has been in Hong Kong recently. I further understand that she was paid something like $300,000 to appear in Hong Kong. Whatever happens today, you're getting a bargain. You know, the attendance at journalism sessions and press club meetings these days is a record just about anywhere in the world. And that can be for only one reason. Well, maybe two. One, you're coming to see how long you're going to be employed. And two, is there any hope? I can't answer the first one, except for the people at the AP, and they're fine. I can give you a little hope. And I come with a message of optimism. I must say that for the first time in a decade, when the full sweep of the internet impact became clear, I now see how we can get to the other side, and I now see the leaders of the media organizations having the resolve to get to the other side. And so I'd like to talk to you in that regard today. No one is promising streets paved with gold or an easy on-ramp to the digital world. In fact, we have only just begun when it comes to figuring out what we have to do. But there is a sea change in attitude, and it starts with a realization that goes like this. First of all, more people are seeking news more times a day in more places than ever before. And if you understand that, you understand that the market for content is growing. At the same time, the value of that content has been devalued. It's now at the lowest level, I think, in history. And that's what we're about to change. And people have announced a number of different approaches, and many are beginning a number of experiments around what's generically called pay models, some of which will work and some of which will go to the experimental dustbin. But the reality is that all of us know that our content is valued. And what we do and the sacrifice that you make in asking the tough questions of people around the world and the risk that people take, especially those frontline journalists, you're now seeing a response. We deserve to be paid. And now it becomes a matter of trying to figure out how to do that. So the first change is an attitude change, and I can tell you that the CEOs of the media companies in the United States have decided to stand up and say, this is the moment. We are not going to be taken to the cleaners. Our content is not going to be monetized by others any longer. We intend to participate in that stream, that revenue stream. The second is the new business models. People are willing to change, and now there is talk of several different business models. And I'll be talking about some of those ways in a few minutes. The third is that there is a willingness to do research and experiment, and there are serious budgets for research and experimentation, even during this dire economic setback, and even given the fact that resources are strained. So they know that they have to change, and they intend to change right now. It's been said that the big mistake that we made, the original sin of the internet, was to give our content away for free. That is not true. We have to engage. The public is consuming content on the web. We have to be a part of that or we will become irrelevant. That was not the mistake we made. The mistake we made was not imagining more than one product. We took all the good stuff we created, whether for broadcast or for newspapers or even a couple of magazines that have the good sense never to quote me, and then took it all and put it on the web without much thought. Oh, the number of links, the lightness or heaviness of the page, how much multimedia. Oh, we went through hand-wringing sessions over that. We didn't have enough multimedia. The links were too heavy, or we had too many pictures and it wasn't loading fast enough. We spent endless amounts of time over those issues, and they were largely all irrelevant. What we should have been thinking about is a whole different stream of products. And so we are. And so that's what you're going to see evolve over the next few years. You're going to see what I consider to be a base. I know when it comes to AP, what we're talking about is that there will be a base license. If you want our content and you would display it, use it in your regular product, that's fine, and display it on the web, that's fine, that's one price. If you want to take it and use it with syndication, if you want to use it with email services, if you want to use it and try to draw traffic through other aggregation plays that you are involved with, there is an upside, and we expect to participate in that upside. So that would be one other way to go. There are a number of premium products that can be imagined. Content verticals especially seem to be robust areas of opportunity for growth. And finally, products can be reserved. And there can be exclusives given, perhaps on a time-based measure. Those who get access to that content and the rich multimedia or the metadata that comes with it might get an exclusive for 20 or 30 minutes. And we think all those things have value. And those are the product streams that we're imagining and beginning to create, some of which will be rolled out next year. The key to that is what we call a news map, or a guide to the authoritative source of news, which is to say, who breaks the news? You know, we're all done with random search. Random search has worked well for the aggregators and the certain portals who have taken our good work and run off with it and given us pennies on the dollar and not paid us appropriately. We're also done with the people who have taken our content and done crowdsourcing with it, put us in with others that have destroyed our brand reputations and have made these series of links that have been part of a self-referring loop and taken the audience away from the content sites that have broken it. AP members, more than 1,400 of them, have already agreed and are participating in a news registry that will work with editors as well as technology. It will still be curated by editors, and we will provide the links on a real-time basis to breaking news. If a story is broken by the Financial Times, we will take you to the Financial Times website, not the Times of India, even though the Times of India may optimize for search engines more so than the Financial Times of London. And so that ability to create a news registry is one of the base steps. And we now have, as I said, more than 1,400 organizations participating in that news registry. We will launch and test the first product from this news map and the news registry in 6 weeks with 10 organizations, 9 newspapers, and 1 sports statistics provider, a joint venture we have with News Corp called Stats. And we are creating a news registry. The key to what we have done is you have to begin by protecting your content. We, especially in the United States, have been asleep. We could have done this in 1977 when a copyright law was passed, but we had natural protection by virtue of geography. And so we didn't have to create copyright protection. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act of the late 90s came and basically enabled Google and the Google wannabes to do what they are doing. And it's time for us to take back the night. And it's time for us to get control of our contract content. And so we shall do that. We will put certain marks on all the content that's working with us. They will include protocols. We will work with you, we won't work with you. Your license for this, your license for the full stream and we will again make that available widely to all the participating news organizations. We just had a World Summit of News Agencies and agreed to extend it to them, as well as all the content organizations. So we call this program at AP 3P: protect, point, and pay. The protection part is to put in the rules that govern the content. These content markers can be stripped, but when the marker is stripped, it calls home, and it tells us if somebody is stripping the marker on a regular basis. We can then act either with protocols that restrict the content going there or legally, through legal means. And we intend to set up a service bureau that monitors the usage of content, when it's downloaded, how it's used, as well as whether the content is being used in a licensed or unlicensed fashion. The next part is the point, and to point to those who are breaking stories. So if you're a part of an organization that is breaking stories, you are going to be rewarded. You are going to get the traffic that you deserve because your reporters have been aggressive enough to break the stories, or to write in such a way, or to produce multimedia in such a way that your content is attractive. It will come to you. It will not go to the free riders. It will not go to the others. And finally is the pay piece. And the pay piece is pretty exciting. So if you put the new products with new ideas in terms of how to go to market, you can begin to see that this market for content that is growing might be a market where we, the providers, the producers, start to get paid one way or another through licensing, through behavioral contextual advertising, through just a fee for having access to that content, or fee for services for providing all these back-end services that we're providing. We expect to be able to get some fees for our services, and also for our own self-referring network. If you go on to Google, normally the top 10 items appearing on Google, 9 of the top 10 will be part of a Google self-referring network. Everything in there is linked to some other part of Google. It's really a brilliant business approach, and God bless them. And all that money has come to them, all $22 billion. Folks, they can share. And now there's something called competition. And I think we stand at an enviable moment where Microsoft and Google have decided to go to war, and we who produce content can begin to figure out whether there's an opportunity for us to help that sharing in a way that reverses the outflow of money from media and takes it back. And so that's the efforts that we expect to see unfold over the next, especially, 3 to 15 months. And I think you'll see a lot more efforts and a lot more announcements that are a lot more bullish from media companies than you have in the last decade. And so that's the reason for my optimism. The other part is that we don't expect to do any of this alone. We expect to do this with partners. And we expect to set up partnerships that we hope are enduring, but at least will follow certain principles. We expect real-time metrics. We will no longer work with people who won't work with us in real time. Secondly, we are not talking about being Luddites, throwing up the moat and hoping to hold on by taxing negatively consumers who might try to access our content digitally. That is not what we're doing. We fully understand we have to engage with the new audiences. We fully intend to engage, and we fully intend to use all the tools and the ideas of the moment. AP in July conducted an experiment during the Supreme Court nomination hearing for Justice Sotomayor. We began a blog. The blog is kind of an old idea, but we put a couple of twists on it. We worked with Twitter to help get the feedback. We took questions from consumers that they want answered of senators or of Justice Sotomayor. And when the question made sense, we tried to get it answered. We work with Yahoo as a base, as a center of gravity. We don't have our own commercial website, and we don't see going there. But we do know we have to engage with consumers. And we do know we have to engage in a way that is up to what they want on a real-time basis. So we put those pieces in place. We got a dozen newspapers to work with us, including the Los Angeles Times and Washington Post among them. And we ended up driving more than double the traffic that these news organizations have seen as a result of this experiment. Yahoo's traffic was 27% greater than it normally is. And the traffic to the Sotomayor blog on AP was three times greater than the traffic to the regular Sotomayor story that AP did. So it is possible for us, old organization, 146 years old in our case, to be reborn and to understand these techniques and to drive the audience. What we need to do then is get paid. We estimate that if we were able to monetize, get the revenue that we deserve from all that, the net would have exceeded $200,000 for 1 week's extra effort. So that's the type of thing we have to capture. And we expect to do that with partners, and we expect to do this on an ongoing basis. Very soon, AP will create a new desk called the Nerve Center. It will be a desk that engages with social media, and we expect to be changing our filing protocols. Filing protocols are a set of standards by which AP copy is filed around the world. We have 15 editing desks, and we expect everybody to get the news out under a certain set of protocols. Right now, we have a protocol system. It's AP, it's got to be simple. 1, 2, 3. One is to get a headline out. Two is the first paragraph of about 135 words written in broadcast tense, not newspaper tense. And then three is whatever else you do with the story. We're going to go to 0 to 4. 0 will be borrowing from broadcast and have a promotional element to it so that we will start promoting even before we move the story. 4 will be a full multimedia effort. So these are the things that we see doing. We see them on an ongoing basis, and we see all our editing desks being empowered to work with these techniques and having that work through a new desk called the Nerve Center so that we will engage with the social media networks. Finally, while I'm here, I also want to say something that I think it's really important when you come to the Foreign Correspondents Club of Hong Kong and for all of us when we go out in our work. And that is, in this era, we really have to stand up and understand that we have to take up the cause even more vigorously for a free press everywhere we can. You know issues here are far better than I, so I will not belabor them, but I do want to call attention to one, a growing trend, especially among sports leagues, to try to take control of the venues in a way that takes the content creation away from us. We have really got to work together. The big guys in sports have all organized, they've gotten their lawyers, and we in the media have organized as well to fight these efforts. And we have to take whatever means necessary, including go to court. We have been to court a number of times, and we have been successful. But this is an area where we have to start guarding. So whether it's government or sports leagues, at a moment where the digital world is opening up opportunities, it's opening up also some possibilities for those who would take back transparency and put it back in the shadows. And so we need to campaign. And the second leads me to this. I urge all of you to come up with tactics that make sense. What we have decided to do as a coalition of news organizations in the United States is to try to get one thing done a year. Pick one thing and get it done, get it fixed, put the spotlight on it. So it's not a generic call for sunshine or a generic call for the free press. We're all happy to do that, and we should. But let's be effective too. Let's figure out what we have to do to get something done. Because at this moment, the stakes are high. And it's too easy for the pretenders to walk away and say, oh, it's okay. So all these things, we have to double down. This is no time. Yeah, the economy is tough. There are a lot of excuses that we can have. But now more than ever, every journalist at every level has to double down and figure out how to be effective and to get it done. With that, I thank you, and again, I'm delighted to be a part of this, and that Sarah Palin-Check can come anytime. AP's running a little under budget this year. Thank you.
That was terrific. We're going to open this up to questions. I think with our guests, it can be particularly wide-ranging. If you think they've been the AP has been too kind or too unfair to Obama, you should, you know, or any other political coverage or anything, Mr. Curley's your man to hammer. And if you want to go more on business, that's fine as well. The only request I make up from here is that I make from here is two things: that you, when you speak, you say where you're from and who you are, and also that you constrain your questions to 30 words or so. The benefit that we have today is having Mr. Curley here, and therefore, if you'd like to make a speech, we'd like to have you speak at maybe another event, but not this one. So I see your hand up, so why don't you start?
Hi, voting
on
the BBC website. I'm used to thinking of people who go into advertising as those who go to the dark side. Now I'm worried I work for something that provides free news content. I rewrite stuff from you and from my own correspondents every day. How does that fit into your vision of paid content? You only need a few websites providing news for free to spoil your plans.
Well, here's what's going to be different. Anybody who wants our content is going to have to agree to our principles. So we will not grant a license unless the licensee agrees to participate in the under the terms and conditions that we want. So further re-syndication will be restricted. And we'll be working with all the large organizations to do it in an intelligent way. And again, this is not about throwing a moat up and trying to hope that the internet world passes us by. I assure you, we are not that stupid. We really want to figure out how you're going to market. We want to help you go to market, and we want to be part of it. But if you want to take our content and put it in an email, re-syndicate it, frankly, we're going to ask for additional fees, and we want an upside. So in the past, it's been a capped or fixed license approach. So I expect over the next couple of years, there will be some wonderful negotiating sessions, and I look at some of my salespeople over there, and knowing full well who will take the burden of these conversations, tell them how much I appreciate what they do. But this is a moment, and it's not just about AP, it's about all of us. And what you hear when you talk to the media leaders now is that if we don't do it now, we are toast, so we are going to stand up and we are going to go for it. And will we have all the answers immediately? I assure you we won't. Will we make mistakes? I will only speak for myself and say yes, but we have to try, and try we shall.
Within the last year, we've had a couple of people come to talk to us about the new media business model. One of them, who I'm sure you know, former Boston Globe correspondent, has set up a new site in which his workforce are basically freelancers around the world. He offers them a certain amount of job security in terms of retainers, but not much more than that. So that from the point of view of the journalist, it's a bit like being a super stringer, the old-fashioned super stringer. Getting around to the question, when you talk to young would-be journalists, people studying journalism, people getting into the field, how do you outline the new career model of journalism? Is it sort of halfway between being a blogster and having a secure job? Or is there no job security in this new world?
Well, I'm much more optimistic than no job security and deep cynicism. The truth is, again, the market for news is growing. But you know, the reality is, and none of us can create some fantasy picture here, there is an oversupply, at least in the short term,
of us. And so that is creating some differences in the market. And I see these being resolved by innovation and creativity over time, whether Global Post is one of them that will be determined or not. But I can tell you that in the United States, in cities that have lost large amounts of coverage, that organizations are being formed. Some of them are being supported by philanthropic groups right now. Some of them are being supported by investors with a particular cause in a given area. And so you will see a lot of this experimentation. There won't be gaps in the market for long. The gaps will be filled. And I would look at how those gaps are being filled. The problem with the blogosphere right now is that, you know, there are only a few that can emerge at a level where it makes sense or they get paid. And I think that will be an area where there will be a lot of growth, successful growth. I think the new methods of the internet technology will do a sorting there. And there will be more people who will be able to make more of a living before long, not overnight, through some of those efforts. So there will be a sorting out, and I would not advise somebody to just start blogging, no matter how good they are. Speaking again for myself, I benefited by having a couple of tough editors in my life who whipped me and whipped my writing and who guided me in the middle of the night to some better decision making. And I worry right now that the pipeline for those journalists will be, right now, is too small, and then all of a sudden, once we start figuring out how to get paid better, there's going to be more demand and there will be a bit of a surprise on the upside, and we will be taking people who were not as trained as we would normally have. So, you know, I think there will be some bumps along this road, but I'm pretty optimistic. Writing is a great skill. It helps you in any number of fields, and you really do have to know two things. It helps to be at least bilingual, and it certainly helps to do multimedia and be comfortable with the new cameras which are emerging and the production of multimedia content. So those are some pieces of advice I would give the young people.
There's a question in the back.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Stray. I'm a graduate student at the University of Hong Kong, and I suppose formerly a computer scientist. So this news portal that it sounds like you're planning on creating, I think you're correct in saying that you're competing with Google. But why would a consumer go to a site that offers less content for more money than Google?
Again, I may not be as stupid as I look. We are not creating a portal. We are not creating a site. We expect to be working with others who are investing billions in these efforts. But we expect to be working with people who will work with us, respect our principles, and we expect to be part of a very large ecosystem. The Sotomayor experiment, again, was indicative of the direction that we chose. We did not do it ourselves. We went out and we got a half dozen newspapers to experiment with, and then we had others call us. She had an important ruling in a case in New Haven. The New Haven Register joined the network. Miami Herald joined the network. There was interest in this. So what you're seeing is an ability to put these networks together. We have, at AP, already networked. We have taken an old newspaper cooperative and used mobile as a way to create our first product of digital cooperative. We have 1,400 newspapers that work with AP. You can customize, you can put in your local zip code, and you can get the local news for that zip code. So you have national and you have local. These are the types of things we're doing, and we're doing it working with others. We have reached out to the magazine industry. We have reached out to the networks. We are just not looking at this as self-indulgence at all. This is very different. It is about a network.
So just a quick follow-up to that question. So this website will be called thenewsregistry.com?
It is not a website. The News Registry is a... It's a governance structure that has rights and protocols and lots of lawyers and technology people behind it. AP has spent a great deal of money creating and developing internet technology going back to 2003. We used to be a satellite where we took everything and we broadcast that one product the same way to everybody. And we have become a multimedia two-way database, and so we are able, we now allow editors and journalists to self-program how they get the AP content through the AP database. And we expect now, with some associations with certain other portals and certain social network sites, to engage. But again, we will do it with a set of protocols that we will put in place. You opt in, and you tell us what your rules are, and you can work with AP doing it all under the terms and conditions you set, or you can have the server at your building. I can't imagine, for instance, that some news organizations like Reuters would want us to have their internet deal. So we would expect that if they work with us, the server would be at Reuters, et cetera. So you can customize it on your own or do it otherwise. We expect for those smaller or mid-sized organizations that we will provide a service bureau, a dashboard of content that and usage metrics that they can use in building a case for their advertising. And we will have legal support for those who want to engage in activities against the free riders or the pirates.
Mark Simon, Appledale.
I looked at our finance side. In Hong Kong, we share all information between newspapers, so I know, basically, you guys make about $500,000. I haven't heard anything in us. I haven't heard in your speech.
Why don't you try that one more time, just because the audio is a little messed up.
I haven't heard anything in your speech for us. I mean, we're a large customer. Basically, we have to translate everything that comes in. Quite frankly, multiple sources, multiple people coming in to see us all the time. And, a lot of time our decision, whether it's AP, Reuters, or somebody else, there's a finance guy like me in there. I'm going, what's in it for us? We've got to translate everything you send us. There's really nothing. I didn't hear anything in your speech as a consumer, as a customer, and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and probably more as we have television stations. I just didn't hear anything that what the AP is going to offer us.
Okay, great. So I would say here are four things. One, first of all, the quality of the content is everything, and the level of content and the responsiveness and the number of story breaks in terms of market share has grown, not decreased, over the last couple of years. Two, I do think you'll see these protocols and these approaches being driven internationally. And if you're breaking stories, you can be part of the index and the curated piece that would drive the self-referring network and traffic to you very directly. Three, I think that we will begin to see more customized products, and there's no question that Asia in general and the larger China would be top of the list there. So it is our hope that our fledgling Chinese language translation service moves out, and that perhaps there are specialty products that can be created there. Finally, not exactly knowing where you're going with your content, but I think that the multimedia opportunities that we're putting together and the partnerships that we see could benefit and drive additional revenues to you and hopefully to both of us. So I'd be glad to work specifically on those with you.
Willing to pay a price increase now? Mr. Laurie, up here.
Thank you. Tom, thanks for introducing us to this great new world that you're engaged in. But I have an old world question. How is the AP responding to what I might describe as a bit of a mini rebellion among newspapers, more particularly among television networks in the States, saying you're charging far too much for your product? There are other competitors coming in. CNN is trying to launch their products in a news agency way. They dropped Reuters because they felt it was too expensive. You have other American networks saying that AP is too expensive. How are you responding to that?
Jim, we had more of a rebellion from Metro editors last year. We have cut prices to broadcasters and U.S. newspapers $75 million. So that's one response. The other response is that we see all these new business opportunities as something that they can use to drive revenues as well. So our outreach with the news guide, which would, you know, we're told that the number one thing that they want, that a news organization wants, is credit for when it breaks a story. And this solves that problem. Right now, they don't get credit. So that's the number one problem that will get solved. The number two thing is they want traffic from the self-referring network. You heard what I said about the Google self-referring network. It works really well for Google. You know, we're talking about creating our own self-referring network, and we know that the traffic increase will exceed 20% as a base within that network once we put it together. So that's another aspect for that. Our pricing has to be competitive. There are going to be more competitors. There are going to be fewer people who can afford us. This is a moment of tyranny in the marketplace. There are quality providers, and there are those who aren't going to be able to sustain the revenues. We don't expect to have the market share that we used to have. We are hopeful that we will be able to sustain the relationships among the places that you have suggested, by number one, breaking more stories than anybody, and also with a reputation for accuracy, and two, customizing products. You know, we had one network that was raising some questions about our pricing, and we went back and we looked. AP correspondents appeared on that network 144 times in the last 10 months, and that was a service that they got without being charged extra for. That helped change that conversation. So again, it's going to be customizing for specific needs. That is the era that we live in. It is not one product fit all. It is that multi-tier product system. And I think all of us in media made a mistake a few years ago by not understanding that sooner. And that is what we have to change right now.
Let me just say we have about 3 minutes left. So. Definitely a question right here. What other questions? And there's a question over here. Maybe, but if we have time, we'll come back to you.
Hi, I'm Tou Hanqi from South China Morning Post. How do you see yourselves as different from Factiva that, you know, aggregates a lot of content but charges quite expensively for it?
Did you say Factiva?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we create real-time content. We have the journalists out there. That's an archive. So I think the archive providers are going to be challenged by the technology going forward. One of the partners that we're in negotiations with is going to make a serious play for real-time archives. And one of the new products that we're talking about is making our database and our historical database, including some video and film that we have going back to 1903, more easily available. I can tell you that one of our partners now has 50,000 dead-end searches, or 50 million dead-end searches a month, trying to get historical stories from us. That looks like a heck of a market if we open that up and made it available. So that is one of the major new products that we see, and we think that's a significant positive revenue stream going forward.
John Wiley, ING. I'm a consumer in the sense of an individual who reads in various media your articles, but also as a business, we advertise in various media. What's in it for the consumers?
Well, you know, this is the moment for the consumer. I think, first of all, John, keep reading, but, you know, for the last 10,000 years or so, it has been mass media one way or another, the other way, and certainly going back to the Lascaux Caves and looking at the stories being told there, you know, somebody put the paintings there and the drawings for the rest of us to interpret. We've gotten a little bit more transparent since then, but you know, now you're talking about two-way and choice and being able to self-program and self-edit. Some people are excited by the Kindle. I find the iPod life-changing.
books available. I carry two iPods. If one of them blows on a trip to China, I have an opportunity. I have insurance. I have a backup. So I really think this is the moment for the consumer. The downside is, wow, you have to work at it right now. And I guess I would say my hope is that there will be some editing functions and you will be able to get a richer source of information that you might customize for you for a bit of a price, maybe less than what you're paying now, maybe a little bit more depending. But you will be able to get the stuff that you want that's more driven to John Wiley and something that you create. And I think that's the big payoff.
Is your question brief?
You said we should care about freedom of the press. You're going to a conference in China, a kind of media Olympics according to the Chinese government. Most of us based here don't see the Chinese government as great protector of the freedom of the press. So you and many other Western media leaders just going there and giving a whole lot of face to a government that doesn't actually care about what we care about as journalists.
So, you know, you can take the approach that we aren't going to talk and we aren't going to work. I don't think that's a very smart approach. I think people know who I am and what I stand for. And I testified last week at a U.S. Senate committee on openness and access to government. And my stance are known. I have given, I think, what was called a very strong freedom of the press speech in China in advance of the Olympics when it looked like they weren't going to be as open as they were. And so this is part of the Olympic platform that they engage with the world, and this conference is a part of that to keep engaging. I think it's in all our best interest to keep that conversation going and to stand up for the values that we believe in. You don't have such freedom to get there. And I hope to have the opportunity to figure out how to say that so that you can travel more freely and that our people can travel more freely. Looking at what's happened in China since 1972 when AP reopened its bureau, things are far better in 2009 than they were in 1972. I am pleased to salute China for its total progress. And if you look at what's happened in the last 60 years, there are a lot more people in China living better, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. So I think that I hope to be a good guest, but again, I will look for the one opportunity to say what has to be said. We're not fully there, and I say that in the United States. It's a good conversation to have. We have governments in the United States that would like to keep more things secret, a lot more things secret than they should, and so it's a battle to be fought everywhere in the world by all of us.